Thanks, Steve.
Kopech.
Oh.
You've got the
fever. You have the fever.
A little crush.
I've never seen anybody come down with the fever as much as you.
Well, it was very exciting. I can say I watched his warm-ups and his very first pitch in Major League Baseball last night while watching the White Sox.
You'll always have that.
That is all I'll
like,
have.
No, as he becomes one of the premier pitchers in baseball, you can tell your kids and grandkids.
They were watching, too.
Oh. Well, then they'll
not
go,
my grandkids.
Mom, we know.
It was just exciting, you know? We need some characters and some nice-looking men on the White Sox, and it's happening.
Mm-hmm. In this Me Too era, I'm just uncomfortable with your focusing on
I am, too, Steve. I'll be
looks.
Honest
I
with
just
you.
Think that's
the looks shouldn't even play into it, Wendy.
Just,
that's,
it
it's a bonus.
A bonus, I
just,
see. Right?
It feels,
I'm with you, Wendy.
It feels dirty.
All right, listen to me. Mm-hmm. He can deliver, all right?
Ooh,
there you go.
The kind of talk
making it worse instead
to.
Of better.
No, I mean, come on.
Making it worse.
First pitch he throws in the major leagues, a steal. You're right.
Yes. Yes.
Come on. That's exciting. I was nervous for him. Like, oh, my God, what if it doesn't even make it over the plate?
He seems to be handling it well, doesn't he? You never know how somebody's going to handle that kind of scrutiny, but he seems to be on top of it. He seems okay with it.
That's what everyone was saying. It's in a weird way, he looked not conceited, but it's just confidence. It's just confidence.
Yeah.
And he looked a little nervous, if you want to know the truth.
I just like that he's a pro athlete who sweats a lot. Because, I watch the pro athletes. Wendy, as you know, I'm a tennis player. And I watch the guys go out there, your better tennis players, and they play a full 2.5 hour match, and then they're done, and they don't even look like they've sweat at all. Michael Kopech comes out. He looks like he already played a game, even when he just comes out there. He's all sweaty.
Well, when we were talking about Michael Kopech Day, and somebody, I don't know if it was Dave Ennett, oh, the blonde, whatever. I'm like, blonde? But it was wet, so it
starts
didn't...
out blonde.
I know.
But then it gets kind of greasy brown.
You're just jealous.
I like
jealous.
It. I'm not jealous.
Greasy brown?
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds like you like
That's
it.
That's what they call them in the minors. Greasy brown. Who's pitching today? Greasy brown's throwing on the mound today.
It's kind of like Bjorn Borg's hair.
Yeah. Yeah.
To that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fair. Mm-hmm.
Was his greasy brown also?
Yeah, when he sweat
yeah,
a lot.
Yeah, I think greasy brown. Would, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You just
I
try to hurt everyone.
Him as well.
But just two innings, but he showed us, I think he showed us a kind of a window into the future of what we can expect.
And isn't it kind of a blessing in disguise that the rain came? Because
yeah.
He went out and everybody's excited about it. There's a chance that had he continued, and he would have continued, right, without the
if
rain delay?
If there was no rain delay, they would have certainly thrown him more innings. Yeah, absolutely.
So isn't the saying, always leave them wanting more? Now we've seen like a glimpse into what we can expect, and it was awesome.
Well, what it does there is it escapes the opening night jitters because he's now pitched in a major league game.
You're right.
His next game will probably be on the road if the schedule holds up. So his next game will be on the road. So that's a whole different dynamic. But just having all those people, they were talking about how same day ticket sales went sky high once they announced that he was going to pitch. Everybody was chanting his name. They were standing up. It was very exciting. But now that'll dissipate a little bit. And that's better for him.
It is better.
You can focus on the game.
Remember our first radio show together? It was only 2 minutes.
Right.
Just
2 minutes
to get those
long.
Jitters, and it was on a Wednesday.
And a lot of the notes we got was that show was too long.
Right.
People were very honest.
2 minutes and then the EAS test, right?
Right.
Interrupted.
And people
oh, we
loved
rocked
that.
That.
Everybody was so happy with that.
We, in all of broadcasting history, we conduct the best EAS test.
I'm not one to pat myself on the back, nor you, but I think that's going to be when all the chips are in, that's what people will remember us for, and I'm fine with that.
I am too, as long as they remember us, Bill,
yeah,
and
so
get our
true.
Names right.
So true. So true.
I get Schneider, you get left.
Yeah. Yep.
Really?
All right, we'll take a quick break, and then we'll discuss other things with you. Call us. We're at 312-981-7200. We'd love to hear from you. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Speaking
That's
of sports,
beautiful.
And we were talking about Mike Kopech's first day in the major leagues with the Chicago White Sox. I have some more sporting news for you.
What happened?
I'm planning on being the next fabulous, the not-so-fabulous sports
oh,
babe.
Oh, that'd be a great job for you.
All right. I'll work on that.
All right.
UFC, do you know what that is?
Not sure I do.
Ultimate.
It's wrestling or fighting
Ultimate
or something.
Fighting Championship.
Oh, yeah.
UFC star Bryce Mitchell has revealed that he suffered a horrible injury by, quote, ripping his scrotum in half with a drill in a bizarre accident.
I have a pretend phone call in the other room, Wendy. If you'll just continue without me, that'd be great. How does that happen?
He posted a message on one of his social media accounts, which if I'm having an accident like that, do you post it?
No. This is the one time I think somebody should post pictures of food instead of any... Right. I'm usually against that, but please don't show... I don't want to hear about this.
He posted a message to inform his fans of his injury and explain how it occurred. The 23-year-old wrote, "So I was going to train today, but I ripped my scrotal sac in half.
Yeah.
I'm about to get stitched up."
Mm.
He posted a picture...
He seems very calm.
He's probably on drugs.
Probably. Is this written in like a frightened font? How did he... Because I would be much more panicked.
Tormento?
Yes.
Is that the font?
Yes. Use the Tormento font.
Bryce Mitchell posted a snap, which is a picture of his bloody pants, and revealed the damage was done by a drill.
Oh.
He's going to be out of action for a while, obviously.
Yeah.
He said, "I was holding a board over my head with a drill in my pants."
Is that a drill in your pants?
No, I just have a board I need to drill.
All right.
I was sizing up the board, and the drill went off and tangled up in it. I dropped the board and reversed the drill and untangled it, but it was ripped
by
in half.
By that point, yeah. What does it say where this happened? Because I'm surprised we couldn't hear him screaming all the way here in Chicago.
I don't know where it was.
That is a bad day. That is the definition of a bad day.
If I hear any swear word puns about how this whole thing is nutty or screwed up, I'm not talking to you for about a month.
Who would do that?
You did it off the air. Can I just tell you, though, I pride myself on my drill.
Wait a minute.
Go ahead.
Take it,
Nick DiGilio.
I don't really care.
All right. I have...
Why do you say that?
What's the red one?
The red drill?
It's not a Bosch because I couldn't afford it, but what's the red?
Kenmore,
maybe? I can't remember.
I don't know that much about drills.
Oh,
I'd be shocked to learn.
Skill, I think. S-K-I-L.
Yeah, I did know that one.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I asked for it for Christmas one year, and I got it with two battery packs, and it is at the ready whenever I need it. I've used it a zillion times.
Like in an emergency, a drilling emergency?
Yeah, say a picture falls down.
Oh, yeah, I could say that would... That would constitute an emergency, sure.
A lot of slamming doors in our house. Sometimes I have to fix the door jam.
Yeah.
I've done a lot of work with my drill.
Yeah.
And there's a mid position where if you press the button, it's not going to move.
Yeah.
So
it's
when you
safety?
Put,
is
yeah.
it in safety?
You can do forward, reverse, or center position, which it won't rotate if you touch the button.
Yeah.
So I'm suggesting to anyone who's doing work, Lou Manfredini, if you're listening,
yeah.
he knows this already, but if you're putting a drill in your pants, keep it on that middle position.
That's solid advice.
Thank you.
I would be shocked if this company, this drill company, didn't use this fighter guy to do their commercials from now on.
Wouldn't that be a great endorsement?
He'd be a great spokesperson for them, right?
He would be.
I think he would be. I think they're missing an opportunity if they don't hire him as a spokesperson.
Wow. I just wanted everybody to have a feel good to start.
Yeah, it worked.
Oh, my hubcap just fell off.
Can I? I have to confess something to you that you can't see because it's going on behind you.
All right.
But I knew this was going to happen eventually here in the studio. We switched buildings 2 months ago. In the old days, when we were at Tribune Tower, we were on the ground floor. So the window washers didn't really affect us because we were on the ground floor.
And they were just standing out there with the squeegee.
It wasn't anything to see.
But in the Allstate Skyline studio?
Yeah, located high atop the 18th floor here on Wacker. Behind you are now ropes that keep going up and down and up and down. And at any moment, there's going to be guys cleaning the windows right behind you. I don't know if they're above us or behind us. Oh, they already did it?
Yeah, didn't you hear?
No.
Rokan said that they got all the spiders.
Oh,
look,
okay.
They're spotless.
Oh, yeah, they're
much
better.
They already did it, so they're on their way down.
But I would not be able to, if they were at our level but outside.
Couldn't focus?
There's no way in the world I'd be able to focus.
You can't focus with the ropes there.
I know.
Imagine seeing a person.
The ropes keep mysteriously moving up and down and back and forth, and I'm waiting patiently for the window washers to make their appearance. They haven't so far, but just because of my fear of heights... Just seeing them out there, my only focus would be on them. Regardless of what else is said or done during the show, all my focus would be on them. Just so you know, if that happens, be careful.
You want me to put the blinds down?
No, don't put the blinds down. I love the view, but I can't even, when I'm walking at street level and there's window washers up above, I can't even really, like, from the ground level, look up at them because then my mindset goes to where they are.
I hear you. And I worry about them falling on me.
Yeah. Oh, that reminds me. Yesterday on the way home,
I saw the light bulb go off.
I totally forgot about this. I think you'll enjoy this because it'll give you a chance to make fun of me. I'm driving down Clark near North Avenue, and there's a huge building going up. And where the construction site is, I'd say roughly 12 to 15 floors above the ground, there's a giant crane, and its payload, as we say in the craning business, is right above the street that I'm driving on. So I'm going to have to drive under it. So there's a street light, and I'm trying to time it so that as I go past it, I can go past it quickly.
You won't have to stop underneath
it. I won't be underneath this thing. But just the way the light timed out, if I had gone according to schedule, I would have been right underneath it for a whole revolution of the light. So that's like, what, 90 seconds or something like that? So I stayed way back because I've seen too many horror movies where the unsuspecting guy has something dropped upon them. So I stayed way back. And then there's cars behind me honking and honking and honking. Come on, move to the light and stuff like that. And there's no gesture to convey that, look what's above us.
Right. Well, you could have just pointed up. Open your sunroof and put your arm up.
Oh, I could have done that.
Look.
Look what's up there. But then they would have honked and yelled, yeah, but it's not going to drop anything on you. But you have no way of knowing until you're smushed, right?
Yeah, I'm with you.
I couldn't do it.
I don't blame you.
And it took everybody a little extra to get through that. But then, like, once the light turned green, I went like 110 miles an hour. I Kopecked it, as we say in the business. I went as fast as I could. All right, we'll take a quick break. Some news is coming up next, and then Katie Rich, a very funny lady, writer for Saturday Night Live, she'll be joining us. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Bill, it's exciting. We have a repeat guest, a return visit.
It doesn't happen very often that a guest is on with us and then comes back again. But Katie Rich is bucking that tradition, Wendy. She's in for the Chicago Women's Funny Festival. She's a writer for Saturday Night Live. And the best thing about you, Katie, is you bring a change of wardrobe. Whenever we have you on, you bring extra clothing.
Well, I was not going to lose the opportunity to run errands while I'm downtown.
Yeah.
So
we women multitask, don't we?
I did schlep down here with large bags.
Would you say fairly that's about 20 pounds of clothes you have with you? About
it's
that?
Shoes, okay?
Is it all shoes?
It's shoes.
Yeah?
And the top box is Rockports, which I thought would be sensible.
Those are nice.
A sensible heel.
Yeah.
But it didn't work.
Could you do I guess Cher is the prototype for this. Could you do costume changes during our interview? That would be great.
Probably.
I would love that.
Get some interns.
Yes.
Although you're returning this.
I'm returning them.
I was just reading somewhere online that there was some, I wish I had all the facts, but here's the gist of it. Somebody was buying expensive jewelry and deciding to return it, but they were a semi-celebrity, and as people were taking pictures of them, the jeweler saw the ring and bracelet and necklace in the picture, and then she'd return it.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure that happens all the time.
I couldn't do that.
Yeah.
I would feel really guilty. What, do you just tuck the tag in? Like, did Minnie Pearl ever try to return her hat?
No, not even once.
And she could have, because the tag was still on.
Yeah.
She could never really decide if she wanted to keep it. That's why she did that.
That was her downfall.
Yeah.
So indecisive, that Minnie Pearl.
Minnie Pearl. She's a real hit with the millennials.
Just my daughters love Minnie Pearl. That's all they talk about. We were watching the MTV Awards. They're like, where's Minnie Pearl?
Ariana Grande. No way.
Okay, please. Wait a minute. Katie's making fun of me.
No, I'm not.
When he...
I knew who it was.
Well, I know, and so, I watched your face when I said it because you seem too young. He brings up people from the 20s and the 40s, and no one ever criticizes
I'm telling you, that Mary
him.
Pickford is going to be big.
See, but he could say anything.
Yeah,
he's like, you know, Mustache Jones really had the pipes. And what are you going to say?
You're going to say,
he did.
Yeah. Now, since we saw you last, you have gotten married. You were about
and
to
taller.
Be married. And a lot taller.
I got so much taller.
Yeah.
Really? That was the last time I was here?
You were preparing for the wedding last time.
It's over. Yeah. It didn't work.
Don't say that.
No, we're
please
still,
don't say
we're
that.
Still
oh,
very happily married.
Right,
how many
good.
Years has it
Three
been?
3 years. That's usually when it's really happy.
Yeah. The first year is weird. People don't tell you that. The
Why
first
was it
year
weird?
Of marriage is like... You're getting used to it, you know what I mean? Like, it's not...
Did the two of you live together before you got married?
We did.
But there were still adjustments.
There's still, but exactly, you're still not married. And so, and I've been, you know, and then, like, as soon as we got engaged, I got the job at SNL.
Yeah.
So it was like, I love you, bye.
Wow, that was fast.
Yeah.
Is he also in show business?
God, no.
No?
No, 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 no. No, my husband works for, he's the programs director for a company called Recovery on Water. It's a nonprofit breast cancer organization yeah. for survivors of breast cancer. It's a rowing team, so
oh, wow.
they stay great. Active and exercise, and yeah, it's
you it's met fantastic. A great man.
He's my heaven ticket.
Yeah,
while well, nice. I'm in the sinful world of Hollywood,
yes. he can balance it all up.
He
for
can
you.
Get us into. A-
God, I don't think either of us are getting to heaven no, when I think of my
chance.
Husband and me.
No, no, but it's more fun. It'll be more fun.
But I guess
we'll
I'll
have
see you
a
there.
Lot of friends. We'll have a lot of friends
right.
out there.
Isn't it crazy though? Like right off the bat, as soon as you're married, that starting that day, you have to say things like I'll ask my husband, or my husband will know,
I
or
still
he'll be buying.
Want to say boyfriend?
Yeah, takes some
and
time.
Also, it's your family.
Mm.
Like if you're on a plane and you have to like declare if you're you know if you're flying international, like that's your family.
Right.
To me, my family is like my mom and dad.
Yep, your parents.
Right. Right. But he's
new family.
He's my family.
Yeah. And so. You left a trail of broken hearts, Katie, everywhere you went. So is that
I'm
hard
returning to- a couple of them, actually, to Nordstrom later. That's what's in one of those bags. Yeah.
That's amazing.
You know, yeah. Husband, it's kind of peculiar to say that for the first time. You said you still say boyfriend. Fiance, I never said.
Never said it.
I hated that word.
To the point where, like, we just started saying husband and wife, like, before we were
oh,
even
you
married.
Did.
Because
skip that
fiance
face.
Is such a stupid word. And you just, no one sounds good when they say, no one
right.
sounds stable
yeah.
when they use that word.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's so French.
Well,
just out of nowhere. It's just really French.
My fiance, and it sounds like, all right, well, what are you trying to prove?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
The guy you tricked.
That's what it should be called. Why does anyone call it that?
The guy you tricked.
I also like as soon as you get married, the next conversation everybody has with you is, well, how about some kid? Like, you were married 5 minutes, and everybody goes, you still don't have any kids?
So ask Katie.
Katie, where are the kids?
Well, we're on radio, so I can't really give my true answer, which is I look down sadly and shake my head. And there's usually no follow-up questions
just
after that.
That
one. Just, oh no.
Oh,
no.
I shouldn't have asked that question.
I know.
Good diversion.
You just make people feel very uncomfortable, and then they'll move on and think twice before asking another young woman.
Right.
What
right.
about pets?
We have a dog. Her name is Lulu. She's a pit bull. She's the love of my life.
Mm.
She's my father worked for Commonwealth Edison for, you know, 40 years, and he's terrified of dogs, you know, because he would, like, shut off people's power. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And this dog is his best friend. He
really?
Loves her.
Pit bulls get such a bad name, and it's so frustrating to me. There are mean dogs in every breed, and there are great dogs in every breed.
Well, any dog is mean if you're an idiot.
Yeah.
If you
True.
Treat it, you know what I mean? So, yes, we do have that dog, and I am embarrassed the way that we treat that dog.
Like it's a baby, right?
We speak to it as though we can reason with it. You know, it's a lot of
we do, too.
Could you please sit down? It's like, no, the dog is a dog. No.
We have a puppy who grabs everything off the counter, and we have him contained into the family room and kitchen. And, all right, I'll fess up. We splurged last night and got the $1.50 sundaes at McDonald's, and you get the little nut package.
You're well, the 1%. You 1%er.
I know.
Your nut
Thank you
package.
Very much.
Wow.
And
Rich
so
people,
this
huh?
morning,
you know what I mean?
The dog's like running around like crazy, and I'm like, what's going on? I go, Jim, he has the nut package. And I hear Jim going, oh, come on. This isn't funny anymore. I'm like, he doesn't understand that. You say stop and drop it. Oh, come on, Kona. What are you doing? Please, you're making me look bad. That's what I'm hearing
exactly.
this morning.
It's so hard not to talk to think they interpret nuance
right.
and sarcasm. And
you think you're funny?
Yeah. And they're like, I poop. You pick it up.
That's it. That's how it works.
I really don't know.
Why do people talk to their animals in baby voices? What's going on there?
They like it.
The dogs like it?
Yeah,
their
they
ears
do?
Perk
they
up.
Respond.
Oh, they do?
They respond to a higher voice. They respond to that.
Oh, yes, you do.
Yeah, they do. They really do respond to that.
Don't you think somewhere there's a dog going, oh, with the baby voice again?
100%.
Yeah.
There's like an old Jewish man who got reincarnated as like a tiny little sweet dog
right.
whose owner is always like, you're so beautiful. And he's like, I was, in my other life, I was so successful. And now I got this broad.
I was a trial attorney, and I have to listen to this.
I brought down Al Capone.
Now this.
And now this
broad.
How
does this happen to me? Katie Rich is here. She's brought a change of clothing. If you're watching us on the net web and you want to see her wear something else, just press one of the buttons. We'll talk about
please
the Chicago Women's Funny Festival. That's coming up next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And we're chatting with Katie Rich, who's in town, but you were born here.
I was born here.
Oak Lawn?
You can tell by the awful way I speak.
There's an Oak Lawn accent about you.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Specifically? Yes. You can narrow in that specifically?
Just by Cicero? Was it near Cicero Avenue?
Pulaski.
By Pulaski, yeah.
Actually.
I'm getting a little bit of that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Very cool.
And you're from Oak Forest.
Yeah.
I'm from Brookfield. Look at all the suburbanites.
Yes.
Yep. And they say there's no celebrities in town.
I know. We're
proving them wrong, aren't we? Tell us about the Chicago Women's Funny Festival, please.
Well, this is its seventh year, and it's been going on at Stage 773, just up north on Belmont. It's a very cool area, very cool. And it's just groups and stand-up, sketch, improv from all over the world that come together for one weekend, and it's really, really fun.
You've been a part of this before.
Yeah, I think this is our fourth year.
Oh, great.
And my best friends, Holly Laurent and Julie Nichols, we met on main stage at Second City, and we do a show together. Holly and I improvise, and Julie improvises as well. She's an amazing musician.
Yeah.
So she plays the piano. We joke and say she hits buttons. That's what you do. You hit a button.
Sure.
But she's the best improviser in the world.
It's amazing how Saturday Night Live, in the last decade or so, the women have gone from just being in scenes, somebody's wife or girlfriend, to really being the stars of Saturday Night Live. That's been a nice transition.
I mean, I think that's happening everywhere, kind of.
Yeah,
women are going from being girlfriends and waitresses in parts, just coming in, and now they're becoming leading parts, which is awesome.
Why did it take so long?
Well, it's still taking long, though.
It is, isn't it?
It is, and I love that this it's a woman's funny festival, but in a way, it should just be a funny festival. You know what I mean?
I know. You know what I mean? It is.
And someday it will just be the funny festival.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think, you know, it's getting, people act like it's comedy is the only place that this is an issue. It's this is an issue everywhere.
Sure.
You know? And so it's not just comedy. It's like, how is it being a woman in comedy? It's like, well, how is it being a woman walking around? Like,
right.
I don't know. You tell me, man.
And there are some men. Bill is not one of them, and thankfully my husband is not one of them. But a lot of men don't want their women to be funny.
Sure.
Why?
Because evolutionary... wise, that makes sense.
Cave women were hysterical.
You very don't know funny. That. Very funny cave paintings. Very
right.
funny. Very good. Obscene.
Oh,
just filthy.
Dirty. So dirty.
But why? You don't need that. Like, we're here for babies. We're not here to entertain.
But we talked about this with you last time. There is this...
How do you remember that?
Oh, I remember all of it.
Wow.
You were wearing that navy blue top. And you had a sombrero for reasons you wouldn't explain to us on the air.
Well, I was getting married.
Right.
So.
It was the pre-marriage sombrero.
Yes.
I still don't understand that.
It's an Italian thing.
But there's been this kind of undercurrent of people who go, well, women, just they're just not as funny as guys. But how could anyone think that or say that?
Well, I think that there's way more men in comedy.
Yeah.
So just from
a numbers
game. There's actually way less funny men when you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a woman is behind the eight ball as soon as they get up there because it's like, oh, here we go. Here's the chick.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the broad.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of this, we're at this point of like, do you lean into that? You know, being dirty and saying shocking things to come out of a sweet woman's mouth. I don't think that's necessarily crazy anymore. And I just hope it gets to the point where women can just be irreverent and just talk about like, I was at the airport. Like, it doesn't always have to be like, oh, man, I got hair on my chin. Isn't that crazy? And it's like, all right, well, what if, you know, we can just talk about more universal, funny stuff as opposed to feeling like it has to come from gender humor.
I've been loving this CNN comedy special, this 10-part series, I believe.
History of comedy.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And we were just catching up last night. And it's like, funny is funny.
Yeah.
If they were talking about comics that aren't dirty, but you don't, I mean... If it's funny, it doesn't have to be dirty. Dirty doesn't automatically equal funny. So let's just be human, and everybody has funny things.
Absolutely. And I had a teacher who always said, you save that F word for when you really need it. Because you're going to need it.
For punctuation.
Or whatever, yeah. Yes. A school teacher.
No, it's a math teacher. No, it was a.
It's true, though. If you say it all the time, it gets diluted.
You save it till you absolutely need it.
Are you going to be writing on the new season of SNL?
For the weekend update.
Yeah, just for update only?
That's what I've always done.
Oh, it's only been. I didn't know that. I didn't know that.
Can I tell you that just came so far? I mean, when Colin Jost and Michael Che first started doing it, Bill and I have watched pretty much every episode of SNL since its inception in one way, shape, or form, whether it be reruns or not. And at first, it was like, oh, tough act to follow. They have found their groove. They are nailing it. Yeah. It is awesome.
Well, thank you. It's always like that when there's a change in your host because you're like, oh, I want the other guy. Mm-hmm. You know, I miss that one. So, And they're hosting the Emmys on September 17th.
They just did a lie detector test. I was watching that. Oh, my God. It is so funny.
So it's going to be really exciting to work with them on that because
you're writing for the Emmys
it'll
for
be
them?
So, yeah, we're, good. It's, we're, we want to take them away from the desk, away from that style, and show that they can do a lot of other stuff, too.
Yeah.
Will Scarlett Johansson be there?
I mean, you'll have to watch. TV's own Scarlett Johansson.
I want to see Minnie Pearl. The kids love Minnie Pearl, Katie. You got to get her in there.
I'm going to rent a hat with a diamond-encrusted tag.
Just as an inside joke for Wendy and me, absolutely. When they open the Emmys, if they could both just go, howdy, that would be the funniest thing in the world to us.
That's actually, I think that is what they're
doing. That's your opening?
Yeah, they're very into that.
That's going to be very funny. Overall, especially for Weekend Update, has the Trump presidency been a blessing or a curse?
Well, what do you think it's been for the world?
A little of each. A curse for the world,
quite honestly.
A blessing for comedians, I think.
I couldn't disagree with you more.
No, really? How come?
Because how can you parody something that's a parody? How can you... It's already such a joke, and it's already one of those things where people are so sick of hearing about it.
Yeah.
But you'll get dinged if you don't talk about it.
So. We don't typically touch on politics too much on this show. The morning show, afternoon show, wouldn't you agree, a little bit more
than
us?
Yeah.
We try so hard not to, but if it's something in the news, you have to talk about it.
You have to talk about it. Yeah. But here's the thing. Donald Trump has been, we've been making fun of Donald Trump since the 80s.
Oh, yeah.
You know, this isn't new territory.
And he's been fine with it before.
Absolutely. But.
Were you there when he was the host? When he came in and guest hosted?
Yeah, but we didn't really interact with him that much because, again, we do updates, so we weren't really.
But that had to be a weird week, right?
It's always a weird week.
Yeah.
Come on. It's not, no human should keep the schedule that we keep.
No, it's impossible, isn't it?
It's bad.
Yeah.
But I mean, I do miss the days when we were like, how do we make the debt ceiling funny? Because, like, right. You know what I mean? I remember it was always, that was the big one with, when I first started, was like, it was always debt ceiling stuff and the NSA stuff. And I was like, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
But then you get to focus on, like, man in Florida stories, which are always fun.
Right.
What is it with Florida? I only have visited Disney World. I've never really ventured out very much.
Just
what's
a
with the Florida
state
folk?
For meth. Some reason. Is it meth?
I guess.
Are you pinning it on crystal meth? Who's the cast member you think the show misses the most? Is there any cast member?
Misses the most?
Yeah. Who's the one guy or girl that when they left you, wow, this show just took a hit without that guy or girl?
I don't think it works like that. I think people leave and then people step up and people leave and people step up. It's a constant process. And that's what makes it so cool that it is this organic thing that people come and go. Like right now, Keenan is up for an Emmy. And I don't know how many. I think the majority of the people that listen to your show probably vote in the Emmys. Yes. Please vote for Keenan.
Yeah.
He deserves it.
He's been there longer than any SNL cast member in history.
And he is pure joy and professionalism. And I mean, one of the funniest things he ever did was when Meghan Markle and Prince Harry, heard of him, when they got married, that bishop from Chicago.
Oh,
remember?
Yeah.
So one of the writers, Brian Tucker and Keenan, wrote a piece within like 5 minutes to be on that night where he played that bishop. And it's one of the funniest things he's done the whole time. Like,
he's underrated,
isn't he?
He's
magic.
Yeah.
I read an interview with him in like Southern Living magazine.
That makes sense.
Just a sweet person.
He's an angel.
Yeah.
He really, really is. I can't. I can't say enough good things about him.
I'm going to stop watching when he's off of
it. Yeah, we're boycotting the second he's off.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Luckily, he's not leaving.
Thank God. Because I really want to watch.
He'll never
he's
leave.
He signed a lifetime contract with the show. They've never given anybody one of those.
But, like, what up with that is such, is, like, so, I mean, obviously, it's so funny, but, like, I never want to see it again because I feel like if he does that, that means he's leaving.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Like an encore presentation.
Yeah.
But I will sit and watch those over and over. They're insane.
Remember when Jason Sudeikis was on there and he just did a guy who just did a weird dance?
Yeah. My son Michael does that dance in our house every once in a while in the tracksuit.
Full tracksuit. Yeah. He'd rip in heaters just like... with a gold chain, yes. Just like
very strange
for no reason.
Loved it.
Just doing breakdance, and he's like a good dancer.
Yeah, he was
not bad. Yeah. You are a pleasure. You really are. You will you come see
too.
Us more?
I love you guys
come
so
by
much.
More.
I remember Q101.
Yeah, we yeah. That's
wow, what... we had you on there.
No,
you were only 11 back.
Oh,
then.
Oh gosh, yeah. I would get up early and stay up late. Yeah, no, I remember Q101.
Well, please come back and see us every time you're in town, and I'll go back and return things with you as well.
Really?
I have my trunk is full of stuff.
I like that.
Yeah, one of the services Wendy provides for guests.
We don't get accommodations or meals,
nothing like that.
But we do get a concierge service.
Yeah, I'll help crazy. You.
Thanks, Katie.
Thanks,
great
Katie.
Seeing
you.
It's Katie Rich, and again, it's the Chicago Women's Funny Festival. If people want more information about it, the website is. Do you know?
Chicago Women's Funny Festival .com, or you can go to stage773.com. But our show is Thursday, tomorrow at 9 p.m.
Excellent. Good luck. Have a great show.
You never say good luck. You say
break a leg.
I hope you do horribly.
Break a bra strap.
Nobody shows up.
Yeah, break a bra strap.
That's what people say now.
To men and women.
Thanks, right.
Thank you.
Thanks, Katie. Some news and then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
You are throwing down a severe baseline, Bill Leff.
It's nice of you to say, Wendy. Thank you for recognizing that. It's Bill and it's Wendy. Our friend Dane Neal joins us right now. He plays Dane Neal right here on this radio station on WGN on the weekends.
Yeah, every Saturday, I take that role on, and we do On the Road 2 till 4, and we're going to do it again this week, so tune in.
You do a great job. I enjoy listening to you.
Oh, I appreciate it. You know, it's an eclectic blend of things, but we try to build in, you know, some of your real world stuff that you're dealing with at the same time. And one of the things that I'm kind of dealing with, and I think a lot of people are too, is the whole, you know, shopping, grocery stores, back to school. Usually I try to avoid the whole grocery shopping thing. I'm not a great grocery shopper.
Yeah.
I'm kind of like the guided missile of grocery shopping. You know, and sometimes we'll get there and we'll all be in the car and Esther will say, hey, I'm just going to run in and get a few things. We know as a family that that's a 25-minute operation.
It's always an hour for me.
Minimum.
Always.
I'm just going to go get a banana. You know, and you're like, uh-huh. We know. Mm-hmm. We've met. You know, we all know who we, and even the kids.
Because you see things in there and you go, well, I need that.
Right.
And
well,
you see something else and you go, I wouldn't mind having that.
I guess so, right? Because, you know, and this is marketing. This is research and development on the shopping side. And they know that they'll get in, there'll be an end cap with a brightly colored character or something that you need. And then that's the whole deal, right?
Sure.
You know, you go in for one thing, and especially if you're hungry, right, you come out with a lot of marshmallow chocolate things. Mm-hmm. At least I do. Mm-hmm. So the kids know that. So when it comes to grocery shopping, I'll be like, I'm just going to go right in. I just go in, go right where I need to be. I've got the Jewel that's close and local. I know kind of the layout there. Sometimes if you get yourself in a large Walmart, you can be in trouble.
Yeah.
You know? And I go get the item and then I come right out. But when it's back to school time, that's kind of my deal now. I got to get the kids lunches. Our school has changed. They've discontinued their hot lunch program. We're going to talk about school lunches, how that thing has changed over the years. So now I got to do some grocery shopping. The whole thing is getting different. I mean, you think about this. You used to just go to, when I was a kid, you'd just go to the grocery store and you'd get absolutely everything, regardless of price or whatever. And now there are really about four or five different places that you go. Some places like Mariano's will have like a better deal on this. Some places you can go to Jewel. Some places you go to Aldi. Some places like Pete's Fresh has better deals on vegetables. We find you've got to go to like four or five places.
And it's not right. It really isn't.
I mean, you'd think one place would just be the best and cheapest and everything. It's just not the case.
Has the grocery store experience changed a little bit because places like Target, which were always just department stores, a lot of Targets now have a grocery department, a pretty
super
vast
Target.
Yeah.
Right. And ultimate target.
If you need like condiments like ketchup and A1 or mustard, I'm sorry, Walmart is the cheapest place to go.
They are really great at just about everything. So you're seeing some stores kind of find their niche. You know, Aldi is one of those that we get certain things from because they don't have as many products. You know, they have a limited amount of them.
And no frills.
And there's no frills, right? You don't even get a cart. You don't even get a bag.
Right.
You're wandering around trying to...
Yeah, I can't figure it out.
To balance everything. But when it comes to, you know, they've got some like chicken breasts for $1.99. If you want some of the cherry tomatoes, you can get them there. And Maxwell loves those. And so you do have to kind of pick and choose. You'd think Walmart would just do everything right. But I think it's kind of that whole, you know, like the chicken at Costco is $4.99. You know it costs more than that. But they figure whatever gets you in the door and it's way in the back, you're going to buy some other things. So I think that they kind of pick and choose where they're going to win and lose.
Well, all stores now have a floor chart where the best stuff is farther back because you're seeing other things on the way and you're going, well, that's not something I need, but it's something I wouldn't mind trying or having.
Yeah.
So it's all, everything, the placement of every product in any of these stores is strictly by design. They know exactly what they're doing.
And you think they are so big, there are thousands, probably tens of thousands of products out there that there's that much trouble, but it is. It's all scientific, and just the whole shopping experience has changed in a bunch of different ways. And I think with Christmas shopping, right, it's changed to the point where we're, you know, way more people are buying stuff online than even the shopping malls. I think they're going through troubles getting people to show up and kind of participate in that mall experience. It isn't like it was when we were a kid, right? You would kind of hang out there. Mm-hmm. You would kind of do some things. It was a social experience. Now people can get their social in other ways. But I think, and I kind of contend, that the grocery shopping thing is kind of the last bastion of you got to be there.
Right.
Right. I mean, if you're going to pick out like a kumquat, you want it to be the one you want. Or an avocado. I think that's a really good example, right? If you get the wrong one.
I'm there too long in produce. Like if I'm getting limes to make freshies, like a fresh margarita, I need like 20 limes. I'm there looking at every single one.
Sure.
I sometimes want to get somebody and just go, could you just pick out 14 limes for me? Because I'll sit there and try and get the perfect one.
Well, and I drive myself
nuts.
You have to, right. Because think about this. If you just had somebody from, let's say, Uber Eats or Grubhub or something just show up with the lime, you'd look at it and you'd know in an instant, like, this is not the one I want.
Right. All right. It's not just me, then.
And you can't take that chance. But they have services now. And I don't know if you guys have done any of those, like ClickList or Mariano's has one. I think Walmart has one. It's kind of a click and collect thing, right? So you still go to the store, but they just do all the up and down the aisle stuff for you.
I don't trust them.
Who is the one you don't trust, Wendy? How come? Just in not selecting the best of the produce?
Yeah, and then like you know, if I want a lean cuisine, they're going to take the first one. You know, you always got to go like three or four back,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Seriously.
Whose company was it that's experimenting with robots and selecting things like produce? Like you'll go online and you'll type stuff in. I want 6 of these, 8 of these, 12 of these. And then it's robotics that go and choose them for you.
Wow. You know, I'm not sure about that. I know that like Amazon has done a lot of things where you can order your things. Oftentimes, you know, they're not sending an Amazon kid into the store and getting it.
Yeah.
They've got fulfillment centers, right?
Oh, yeah,
giant warehouse, and they just pick it. And maybe some of that has gotten automated. But I think that's the thing that you look at, especially when you've got a situation like I described where Esther will go in and be gone for half an hour, where you can have, well, you said you needed, you know, one or two items. They're waiting for you right at the door. We don't even need to go in. I don't know.
All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break and then more with Dane Neal. If you want to jump in, we're at 312-981-7200. We'd love to hear from you. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Dane Neal's our guest. It's Bill and Wendy. I mentioned before the break that somebody, I couldn't remember who, is experimenting with robotic grocery stores where you order stuff online and then robots kind of move up and down the aisle and gather what you ordered. Both Walmart and Amazon are experimenting with the robotic grocery stores.
I mean, I get it. And some things are changes that just will happen and get incorporated. I remember when they first had the, you know, those kind of little kiosks where you would buy stuff at the grocery store by yourself without a person checking you. Like, how's that going to work? People aren't going to be able to, well, you figure it out. And a lot of times it's a better way to do it. I mean, I remember being skeptical we could keep smoking out of bars, but hey, we've done it.
But Dane, won't this be hurtful to anyone trying to develop new products? Because what you're ordering online is stuff you're already familiar with, and new products will have a harder chance breaking in, don't you think?
Well, I don't know. I think there'll be sneaky ways to, because they've got to find ways to do that. It's such a big part of the business is kind of that whole upselling and product suggestion, and if you like this, you'll love that kind of thing. Wendy mentioned she wouldn't necessarily trust them to bring the stuff out because they're going to pick the wrong, the wrong lime or wrong avocado or something. I think they'll probably do a thing where, like, they'll have this algorithm where they'll decide, you know, you like this, and here's a product we've suggested mm-hmm. for you. They'll put it in your bag, and maybe they won't charge you for a day if you return it, and then, or it's fully returnable at any point, but then you'll just, like I do, I'll just get lazy and won't return right. it. Or maybe I'll like it, right? And then I'll be a fan of that product. I think that's how they'll justify it. Well, when you think about, you know, everybody's got to do stuff. For me, getting back into the grocery store, yesterday was the kids' first day of school. You know, it's the whole school lunch thing. And in our school, they've changed, you know, whoever the provider was for the hot lunch. They don't have hot lunches. So we've got to go ahead and figure that out. It's changed a lot. There's certain things you can't do, you know, peanut butter. Remember that used to
be. Is that yeah. for sure? You can't send your kid with peanut butter?
You can. In the past, you couldn't. The last couple of years, peanut butter was not allowed. Now you can, but yes. you're sequestered off in some area. You've got to eat with the principal or something like that, but you can't bring it. And it's like, well, I don't know. You know, I don't make the rules. You know, we just work within them. But the whole
Nutter Butter Man is the principal at my daughter's school. So
thank God.
Boy, are we lucky.
Imagine that board meeting, though, you know, where they get everybody in the conference room right now at Nutter Butter headquarters. It's like, you know, we're public enemy number one.
Right.
You know, I think maybe just like the bread people were back when carbs were super evil. Hopefully, you know, this too shall pass. But
what's a good lunch? What do you make for your kids?
Okay. Well, you know, we've gone the whole Lunchable route because you think these Lunchable people, you know, we talked about it, Bill. You know, it's the research and development. A lot of science put mm-hmm. into this. What makes a great lunch? Right. Lunchable. And so they liked that at
Lunchable,
first.
For people who don't know, is kind of it's a pre-made sandwich, basically.
It's
right?
not a sandwich.
What do you
get? It's crackers. It's turkey or ham. It's a cookie and...
Yeah, and maybe a drink, you know, a little like a juice box. Kind of. Not really.
They're all in little compartments, which kids like.
I talked with Melissa O'Brien. She's the registered dietitian over at Jewel, and I asked her about that, and we'll probably have her do a little bit on Saturday as well. I asked her what was, you know, Lunchables. They're okay, right? Just packed with sodium and no nutrition.
So,
well, that's what they say. But if you're looking for a light snack, but as far as a lunch, maybe not the best thing. We go with, like, lunch meats. You go with some fruit. You throw some things in there.
String cheese.
Yeah. String cheese is great. Yeah, like the... You know, the mozzarella, kind of stuff. And you got your goldfish. Those are always a winner. Pretzels, we go with
pretzels.
That. Just kind of stay away from the Doritos and the chips.
Because why?
Well, because they're
not as healthy.
Is that it?
Yeah, they're not as healthy. Well, I don't know. You know, and because you hear you get the feedback back that they didn't need any of it anyway. They just do this whole kind of radio tradio thing where they just kind of, all right, I traded this for this.
Yeah, right.
So I think a little bit of that goes on. But the presentation side is there too. The Pinterest, I guess, has got everybody feels pressured. I personally don't feel pressured. So if anyone's worried about me, don't worry. But to, you know, cut the sandwiches into like bear shapes or make things that look really, you know, awesome and presentable.
You can cut a sandwich into a bear shape?
Apparently
cookie
you can.
Cutter.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Or probably any animal, really.
But by the time your kid gets to college, is that still a necessity or can you scale back a little
Depends
bit?
Depends on the kid.
Yeah. I mean, who knows? We just want them to like eat it. So sometimes they'll come back and Vivian will come back. She hasn't touched any of it, even the good
Doesn't
stuff.
Doesn't that bug you?
It's like, it's just a crunch bar. You think you'd eat that first, you know, Max, and they'll eat those kind of things first. But the lunchbox side of things has changed completely since I was a kid. I did a little bit of research and, you know, a lot of people had the paper bag with the magic marker kind of situation.
Right.
That's pretty normal. I, you know, growing up, my first lunchbox, I had a Speed Buggy lunchbox.
Nice.
I had a
Zoom Zoom.
I had a Jabberjaw lunchbox.
Oh, yeah, I had the U.S. Mail. It looked like a mailbox.
Oh, those are great. Oh,
cool.
I did.
School,
it was red, white, blue.
Yeah, you can't quarrel
had
with
Clockwork
that.
Orange.
Anyway. But now they've got, and so this is what I was handed, all these, you know, Vivian is still a traditionalist, you know, on the fun side, right? So she has a rainbow poop emoji lunchbox with the unicorn. It's a rainbow unicorn poop emoji. And
she likes that?
Oh, she loves it. She loves unicorns and she loves poop emojis.
You have it on a lunchbox. That, to me, it doesn't go together.
It doesn't sound appealing, right? But she's a kid, so it's okay. The other side of it is that I've been told, you know, the instructions from on high is we've got this whole kind of Tupperware situation where you've got to try to fit everything into the Tupperware. The thought process is that you're saving on baggies and things like that.
Sure.
But really, from an execution standpoint,
it's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work, and it doesn't always fit. You know, you take a cookie, you can't put it in a Tupperware container. It takes up too much space.
Yeah, right.
But that's the way it's going now. You know, you've got, what kind of lunchbox? Did you had Clockwork? Is that true, Bill?
No.
What'd you have?
I had my first one was a Peter Pan, the movie Peter Pan, and then I went to the Major League Baseball one that had a game on it where you would spin. You could spin a spinner.
How fun is that?
And get a base hit or a double or a triple. Yeah, it was
excellent. That's pre-cell phone, people.
Yeah, this is before.
And right. Can I just say, I was like that when the kids were younger with the Tupperware, but at some point they like to just smash the lunch bag into their backpack, and if all that Tupperware is there, it's really clunky. So
yep.
I've gone back to baggies and...
You can do the thermos, you know, a little pasta, some soup in the thermos and things like that.
Yeah.
But even now, the brand new stuff, the way that they've built it, it's so functional that it costs, you know, $300 sometimes or
what?
More for some of the stuff. Yep, yep.
And $300?
Then, yeah, $200 to $300. It depends, because ours wasn't anywhere near that. It was maybe $20, but still, that's a lot. And yeah. Star Wars is $77. What do you think for the TIE Fighter lunchbox back from the original
Star Wars?
How
much is it worth now?
Yeah, I mean, Bill, you know, you collect a lot of stuff.
My guess on something like that is probably about $150.
Well, it depends if the quality's there, right? And it's not rusty.
$600.
There's not food still in it. It's between $200 and $300.
Oh.
And a Serenity one seemed like the highest one I found, $849. So there's a collector market out there, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's the one you used to use as your briefcase when we worked at another radio station?
Tom Corbett Space Cadet.
You still have that?
Yeah, I still have it at home. Yeah.
You just can't find the big, dangerous, sharp, metal, rusty lunchboxes like you could before.
That's when they were fun.
Congrats to Mike from Burbank. He is taking three friends or family members to a Chicago White Sox game. White Sox versus Red Sox. It's happening Friday, August 31st at 7:10. Keep listening for that sounder as we give away seats to the Sox all season long. Dane, thank you so very much for coming by.
Yep. Thanks,
Ryan. You seem stressed with making lunch.
Oh, my gosh. It'll ease up. We're going to be back to baggies and jewel bags, and we'll be ready to go.
By Friday. Thanks, Dane. A quick break. Some news. More show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
All right. This could be very interesting because, first of all, thank you, Kim. I'm Wendy Snyder. Bill Leff here as well. And Bill Leff earlier had mentioned that we are having a guest on. Why, did you say?
Because we thought she used to be on the Waltons.
Well, our guest was listening when you said that.
Yep. How about that?
I like to think we had Katie Rich on talking about the 7th annual Chicago Women's Funny Fest. So now we're going to have Megan McDonough, singer-songwriter, on to talk about Dedicated to the Ones I Love, great women singers of the 50s, 60s, and 70s. How's
Yay.
That intro? Is that better?
Oh, that is fantastic. Thank you. And it was quite a schlep from the Walton Mountain
yes,
of Evanston.
Yes, I can only imagine. I'm sorry for thinking that you used to be on the
That's
Waltons.
Okay. Listen, I'm friends with her.
Are you?
I'm friends with her on
Twitter?
On Facebook, and I get her newsletter.
She has a very similar name to you.
Yes, and my first name is Mary, but because my full name is Mary Megan Margaret McDonough. I'm the seventh of nine kids, I was raised
much?
Catholic. You know,
Irish Catholic,
which is comes as no surprise. Which I like to think explains my intense interest in Buddhism and attraction to Jewish men. So I went to Catholic school, but the nuns would not call me Megan because it wasn't a saint's name.
Oh, right.
So they called me Mary, and I'm like, Mary, who are they talking? Oh, me, Mary. Oh, right. Yes, sister. Mm-hmm. Right.
They take it that seriously.
Oh, honey. In the 60s, are you kidding?
Yeah.
Especially before, like, Vatican II.
Yeah.
It was very deep, very serious.
Don't say how it ended, because I didn't see Vatican I yet. So please don't ruin the ending.
And Megan, you changed the...
I changed the spelling of my name. It's the goofiest reason, okay? The goofiest reason, and I'll try to make it short.
M-E-G-O-N.
M-E-G-O-N.
It used to be A-N.
A-N. And when I moved back here from New York, I lived in New York in the 80s for a couple of years, I moved back here and started auditioning again, but there was another actress younger than myself with the name Megan Maureen McDonough, and I went to an audition at Goodman, and they said, Megan, we had a really hard time finding you because someone else, because another actress in town now has your name. Mm. I went through a bunch of rigmarole, and I thought, and I started touring with a group called Four Bitchin' Babes, and I thought, you know, what would it be like? So I looked up the numerology of my number.
Yeah, sure.
I'm a hippie, man. I am a child of the 60s.
Yeah.
And I found that O was a softer vibration than A.
Oh.
So she switched her name. So I'm now going to go as Wandy.
Wandy. I like that. That's
but check it out first with the numerology.
All right.
And so now I wanted to go back to my original spelling, and I'm like, oh, Meg, come on. You know, give it a drink, for the love of God. You know, just make up your mind.
Yeah.
So either spelling I answered,
you're comfortable
but it's still
with
pronounced Megan.
Right. And a hippie child who entered a contest on WLS radio.
WLS in Chicago, big break radio contest.
14 years old.
14 years old, and I won first place, you guys.
Congrats.
I tell this story. I competed against bands, other
songs. Ides of March, probably.
No, but they are my pals.
Yeah.
And I won first place. It was a recording contract with Mercury Records. Ludwig drums, like Ringo's. I was out of my mind excited.
And you're 14 at this point?
I was 14.
Oh, that's pretty good.
I recorded my first record at Universal Recording Studios, which is no longer there.
Yeah.
But Bruce Swedeen, who went on to become Michael Jackson's, you know, engineer.
Yeah, right.
Quincy Jones producer.
So look at, she's 21 now. Look at how many years.
That was 7 years ago. That was a long time
ago.
You
are my pal. And we will talk.
What was the contest, the goal of the contest was to just be the best singer? What were they looking for?
Was it an original song?
Yeah. Original songs. You guys, my original song. I was a folk singer, you know.
Yeah.
When you see the world and its changes today, you know. But I sang this song, You'll Know Me If I Ever Make It. And,
yeah.
And like, I won first place.
Congratulations.
I was Clark Weber.
Yeah.
I mean, all those DJs.
His grandson
that I listen to.
Works for us now.
Oh,
he's here in the building.
On.
We'll introduce you.
Clark Weber. I listen to all those
guys. Yeah, he's
guys.
Great.
Yeah.
I went to sleep listening to WLS.
Excellent. That's good news.
Yeah. Well, you won the contest. That was pretty cool. You're going to be performing at the Rouse Center for the Arts. It's in Crystal Lake, which you're from originally.
Right.
You're going
Born
home.
And raised. Gone home. I'm so excited. And you know how fear and excitement can feel
They're
the
right
same?
Right next to each other.
Yeah.
You
so
have
I
both.
Don't know where I am.
So my guess is a lot of the people that you grew up with or knew when you were younger will probably be there, right?
Some of them will be there.
Yeah.
My best friend Karen Clough now lives in Minneapolis, but I saw her a couple weeks ago at a family funeral, I'm sorry to say, and saw her siblings. Oh my! I lived at my best friend's house.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm not sure, but a couple of her family members
will
be there. A couple of my family members might come in, and I'll try to stay in the moment as much as I possibly can.
So great women singers of the 50s, 60s, and 70s.
Right.
Patsy Cline will be featured.
Patsy Cline will be featured. I played Patsy Cline for Northlight Theater in 1990.
Mm-hmm.
And I was nominated for a Jeff Award. The highest compliment I ever got was a friend of mine was sitting behind a couple, and during intermission, the woman leaned over to her husband and whispered, "She's doing a great job lip syncing."
Oh,
okay.
Wow.
That's a compliment.
I'm like, okay. We broke the box office record for most tickets sold.
This is always?
Theater. Always Patsy Cline.
That's excellent.
Yeah. It was I had an amazing time, but it was about 24 songs, snippets of songs and full songs, 24 songs. 8 shows a week. You go to the theater, you do the show, you go home and you go to bed, and then you sleep till you wake up. You know, God bless my now ex. Took care of our son and got him off to school, and I just, you know.
Great experience, though, right?
It was great.
You know,
I had the time of my life playing a little bit hers.
Played with John Denver.
Opened for John Denver in the 70s. Yeah, I love to say, I tell the story of when I was 18, I got a record deal.
I ran
away from home with my mother's permission when I was 17 to Los Angeles, got a record deal. In the days, you could do that.
Yeah, you can't do that anymore.
No. And got a call from my manager saying, "Hey, you're going on the road opening for John Denver." I'm like, "What?" And about a year before that, I was promoting my first LP for Wooden Nickel RCA, and a friend took me to Red Rocks Park, and I stood on the stage during the day. You can stand on the stage at Red Rocks Park, and I thought, and this wish just kind of sprang from my heart, I'd love to play here one day. And a year later, I was opening for John Denver at Red Rocks
Park. That's fantastic.
I mean,
is that Buddhist? Is that why that happened? Was that the O in your name?
Gotta be.
It's all, and it's when I had an A, Wen. It's when I had an A. Go figure.
I can't.
I got to go back to the A. Maybe I'll go back to Red Rocks if I change my name.
I'm going to have you do a song or two, but okay. I need you at some point to tell me something about John Denver, because I was such a huge fan of his.
Yes.
What was he not? Please tell me he was nice to you. He was nice to me.
Okay, I think when you're an idealist, when you are for the earth, for the, you know, that combined with the business of show business.
Yeah.
It's a difficult mix.
Yeah.
It's a difficult mix. Not everybody makes it.
Right.
You know, he made it. But it's a lot like you have to be pretty, you just have to be who you're not.
Yeah.
You
and
know,
that might have eaten
24/7.
Eaten him up a little bit. I've heard stories that his last year or two were not very comfortable.
Not as I understand.
Yeah,
him. Yeah.
He was still far out.
He was.
Oh,
far
my
out.
God, far out,
John
man.
John Henry Dutchendorf Jr. Right.
Yes.
Yeah, he was so good. All right, we'll do
Bill's
this.
Was really an 83-year-old man in that young body.
This guy as an 11-year-old.
Bill, you're kind of blowing my mind here, man.
That was my goal, Megan. Megan McDonough's here. She's going to do a song for you. Stick around. A lot more coming your way next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right.
Nice try.
Oh, my fault. I didn't have a button on. Yes, it's my fault, Jasmine. I'm so, so sorry. I wanted to play along.
Megan, since you were on the Waltons, you tell me.
Yes.
Did that thing on John Boy's face keep switching sides on every episode? I didn't imagine that, right?
That was very calculated.
It was.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Absolutely.
Very mysterious.
That great question, Bill.
Thanks,
Megan McDonough is with a singer-songwriter. You can go to Megan, right?
Yes.
MEGON.com. That's your website. She's going to be at the Rouse Center for the Arts. It's 26 North William Street in Crystal Lake. August 24th, 8 o'clock show. Dedicated to the ones I love, great women singers of the 50s, 60s, and 70s. I love Linda Ronstadt. Any Linda Ronstadt?
You know what? She'll be in the next production. I mean, I want to add Linda Ronstadt. I was just thinking about her this morning.
That's my go-to song is Poor Pitiful Me.
I've been cheating.
That's a good one,
yeah.
Too.
I want to add also Laura Nero, who is a great singer-songwriter. Not a great singer, but a great singer. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, she had so much soul. We're going to open with a little, the night we met, I knew I needed you so.
Beautiful.
Ronnie Spector of the
I love
Ronettes.
Ronnie.
Love the Ronettes.
I just saw Ronnie Spector recently, her Christmas special, covered in goosebumps the entire show.
Yes. That voice is some sort of soul imprint for me. I'll also be doing Connie Francis. What I love about Connie Francis is that she could cry and sing at the same time, you know. Who's sorry now? Who's sorry now? Whose heart is aching for breaking each
bow. Oh,
you.
So fun. It's so fun to. I'm not imitating these women,
right.
But if they
you're
come through,
to.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Can we get you to do? We talked about a medley. Now this is Patsy Cline songs,
my
right?
Favorite,
yeah.
Patsy.
All right.
So this is just a little medley of a couple Patsy hits.
I go a walking after midnight. Out in the moonlight, just like we used to do. I'm always walking after midnight, searching for you. I walk for miles out on the highway. Well, that's just my way of saying I love you. I'm always walking after midnight, searching for you.
Because nothing says I love you quite like streetwalking, apparently.
And then I fall to pieces.
Those who were not big country music fans swooned at her big hit, written by Willie Nelson. Crazy, I'm crazy for feeling so lonely. I'm crazy, crazy for feeling so blue. You'd love me as long as you wanted, and then someday you'd leave me for somebody new. Worry, why do I let myself worry? Wondering what in the
everybody howl.
Ow! Crazy for thinking that my love could hold you. I'm crazy for crying and crazy for trying. And I'm crazy for loving.
Have the most amazing voice I've probably
so
ever heard.
Were you lip-syncing that? You had to be lip-syncing that.
I was, Jasmine, you were on that, weren't you?
Here's the thing. You are so powerful. You're a great guitar player,
Thank you.
You just exude joy as you're performing.
Thank you. It's what I
what
love
job.
To do.
So good to see you.
Thank you.
Megan McDonough.
So good to be with you.
Her website is Megan, M-E-G-O-N, twice, MeganMegan.com. Performing at the Rouse Center August 24th at 8 p.m. Go to RouseCenter.org, R-A-U-E, RouseCenter.org. And, of course, episodes of The Waltons on Boomerang TV
exactly.
every night at 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
Great to meet you.
Good night, Wendy. Good night, Bill.
Good night, John Boy.
Good night, John Boy, wherever you are.
Bless you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
We'll find out what Steve has next on the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.